Those of you that were here till, I don't know, 10:30-ish last night, are you dragging like I am this morning? Nah? Okay. Nah, I'm doing pretty good. We had a good time at VBS. Of course, this is one of my favorite Sundays. We have VBS, and then we leave all the decorations up. And as you can tell, my creativity is awesome. I'm just kidding. I had nothing to do with it. If this was me, I would pass out. Because I'm not very creative, but they did a great job with our theme and with our decorations this year. And as we get started, I want to recognize them. So the ladies, Samantha, Diane, Shannon, and Patsy that, you know, coordinated and planned and done all this stuff. They did a good job, so y'all give them a hand. We had 18 children. And I think we had that many adults, probably even a few more adults. And I'm not sure who had a better time. Probably the adults. I don't know. But it was a good time. And the best thing about it all is, child or adult, when they were here last night, they heard about Jesus. And they heard about the gospel. And that's why we do it. That's why we do it. As far as announcements go, this is one of the months that we have a fifth Sunday. So at the end of the month, the last Sunday, on Sunday evening, we have a gentleman named John Triplett. He's a friend of ours that we met through Carpenters for Christ. He's from Alabama. So he'll be coming all the way from Alabama to lead us in worship on Sunday evening, the fifth Sunday night. We're going to invite all the other churches and see who shows up. And we'll give you some more details on that in the next couple weeks, but his name's John Triplett. You can find him on Facebook if you want to go listen to some of his stuff before he comes. And I'm not going to say he will entertain you, but he will entertain you. But he will absolutely lead you in worship. And he does a great job at it. Another person way more talented than he's got more in his pinky finger than I do musically. So.
About 1,000 watt smile.
Oh yeah, yeah. Outside of that, that's the only true announcements. If you didn't get one of the Sunday papers for the month of July, I went and got them out of the building because we moved them for VBS, and I laid them out next to the offering box in the lobby there. So you can grab one of those on your way out, or you can get up now and go get one if you'd want. But I'm going to pray, and then what we always do on this Sunday morning after VBS too is we let you guys see a little bit of what we did last night. So we're going to play one of the opening songs, and guess what? Guess what? It has motions. So you get to stand up and get your arthritis worked out and do some motions with us. And then we're going to show you a little video that goes along with it too. But if you will, let's start with prayer. Join me in prayer. Father, we thank you again for today. We thank you, Lord, that you've blessed us. With the ability to host a VBS and to share your word. And Lord, we know that seeds were planted. And Lord, we just ask that you would send people now to fertilize and water those seeds. And Lord, may you and your presence and the salvation that comes through Jesus Christ be present in the lives of those that desperately need him. And Lord, as we're here this morning, we want to make sure that we praise you and worship you in this place. So Lord, help our hearts, help our minds get prepared in this moment to do that. And Lord, we love you. Jesus, we love you. Holy Spirit, we love you. And we pray all these things in your name. Amen. So if you have a blue hymnal in front of you, and I'm not going to lead you in a song, I promise. Turn to page 163. It's actually 162, 163, 164, 165, all on the same place. All right. I'll give you a second to get there. And I'm going to ask you to read this along with me. 163 says, I am, and it's from Revelation 22:13, John 14:6, 6:48, 8:12, 10:11, and 11:25. And we'll read this together. Worship, leader, or solo, right? So we're going to do it together. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. Amen. And of course, who is that? Jesus, right? And if you were here with VBS, you know where I'm going with this. Our theme this year was what? Jesus is my ticket to heaven. And our theme verse was John 14:6. I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So we're going to play the first song that we did at VBS. Stand up. And try the motions. All right. So Brady's going to get our next video up. You can be seated for it, and I think you'll enjoy this as well.
In God's true book, the Bible, Jesus uses pictures to tell us seven great things about himself. They all start with the words, I am. Here is the sixth picture. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. God is amazing. He made the stars and the planets. He made the world and everything in it, including you and me. God made us to be with him. But because we chose to walk away from him, God's true book tells us it is like being lost. I got lost once. It was really scary. All I wanted was to be back with my dad again. And that is what life is like now. We need to be back with God again. We need to not be lost anymore. Now, I'm going to draw you something. Can you tell me what this is? Any guesses? That's right, it's a map. Sometimes people use maps to get to places. Pirates use it to get to treasure. Weather people use maps to explain the weather, and I use maps when I go out driving. Maps are really important. When Jesus says he is the way, it's like he's saying he is the map. He is the only place we can go to get to God. But what if the map lied? What about if it told me to turn left instead of right? What if my map lied? That would be a really big problem. But Jesus says that he is the map that tells the truth. When someone tells the truth, we can trust them, can't we? That is what Jesus means when he says he is the way and the truth. But what about the life? Imagine that at the end of your map, you were going to find the best treasure. Everything you ever wanted, it was going to make you so happy. That is what Jesus means by life. When we say sorry to God, we believe in Jesus and follow him as our King, then we become part of God's amazing family, and that is a family that we get to be with forever. That is good news. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Now I wonder if today, to help you remember this, you could make your own map, maybe of where you live. Make sure to put some nice treasure at the end of the route to help remind you that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no one gets to God except through him.
So that was the message that was delivered to our children at Vacation Bible School. And I want to read to you from John chapter 14. If I can get there. And I'm only going to read verses 1 through 7. But I want you to listen to the conversation that's happening between Jesus and the disciples. And especially in this first verse of John chapter 14. We live in a world that's troubled, y'all. And if we allow those things to affect us, then we can walk around in a state of miserability, being miserable. Okay? Verse 14, or chapter 14, verse 1 says, "Let not your hearts be troubled." And following that, it says, "Believe in God. Believe also in me." This is Jesus speaking. "In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I'm going?" Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" And then our VBS theme this year, "Jesus is your ticket to heaven." And our verse 6, Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Verse 7 says, "If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." If you know Jesus Christ, then you know God the Father. If you know Jesus Christ, then you'll get to visit and live with the Father in his house forever. I told the youth in the class, that's one of my favorite sections out of the Bible. You know why? Because it's talking about the house of God, and it's talking about the room that he's made for me. And I can't wait to see what it looks like. I have no idea what it really is going to look like, right? But I can't wait to see it. I can't wait to see it. And I hope you have that same hope. I hope that your hope is found in Jesus Christ and only him. Because as we taught our kids, right, he's the only way, the only way. All right? We're going to play a song, but before Brady starts that song, there's something else. Some of you have gone and seen the movie already that's out about child trafficking. It's a heartbreaking thing that is occurring not just in our country but around the world. Some 2 million children are trafficked for various reasons around the world. And this movie is trying to raise awareness. I've not gone to see it yet, but I invite you to go see it. I've heard it's pretty good. And it does a good job of bringing that to the forefront.
The sound of freedom.
You say, well, why are you bringing that up? Well, we did VBS, and really the main point of our VBS is to reach our children. But if we continue to allow Satan to steal and rob our children, then we'll no longer be able to do what we did last night and reach those kids. So Brady's going to play this song, and it's called Come to the Altar. Oh, Come to the Altar. You guys know this. And all I'm going to ask you to do is if the Spirit leads you, hey, come to the altar and pray for our kids. Pray for our children who are under attack. Who are under attack. The treasure at the end of the map is Jesus. If you haven't already, I encourage you to add our children, the next generation, into your prayers every day. Because they need it now more than ever. And breaks my heart when you start hearing the stories and you hear the things that are going on in our world that are destroying life. Destroying life. Children's church. I think Shannon has children's church.
It is I.
Good luck, children. So we're going to, you know, I thought about, you know, pulling off of our series and kind of continuing with our theme, but I tricked you into getting two sermons this morning. You got your first one on salvation and on Jesus and on why you need Jesus. And the second one, we're going to continue with our series about the back to the basics. So if you're a Christian here this morning, this message is directed at you. And we're going to continue, as I said, with our series, and we're going to look at an issue that many people, I think, see it as an optional thing when we start talking about our faith. But this morning's topic, well, I think it is, but I think afterwards you might agree with me, but I think it's just as important for the Christian as the previous topics that we've covered up to this point in our series. Do y'all remember what those were? That God is the one and only true living God. That this word, His word, guess what? It's complete. It's true. And it's holy. And that, if you remember from last week, that true freedom only comes when we have a genuine, authentic, bought out, sold out relationship with Jesus Christ. But today, we're going to spend our time addressing what God says about stewardship in life. Everybody went, ooh, he said the word stewardship. Well, very few times since God called me here as your pastor have I mentioned or taught on money and the proper use of money. Perhaps it's because I haven't felt the need to do it. Or maybe because many people protest. I chose a better word there. Many people complain when you give sermons about money. While stewardship absolutely includes the issue of money, I think you'll be pleased to know that when the Bible speaks of stewardship, it addresses much more than money. Wise use and management of our money is just one part of what it means to be a good steward with the blessings that God has given us. What you'll find as you study the entirety, remember we said this is a complete, right? Truthful, holy word. What you'll find when you study it in its entirety and as you grow in your spiritual walk is stewardship also includes things such as caring for other people, caring for the land, caring for animals, managing, get this one, our time wisely. And I, oh boy, this one hurts, y'all. Stewardship includes controlling our tongues. And of course, managing our money and how we support the church. Now, because the Bible directs us to steward many things, there's no way we can cover that list, cover all of those. So we're just going to look at a few. But before we get to what the Bible says about some of the things we're going to talk about concerning stewardship, let me give you just a basic biblical definition. According to the Holman Bible Dictionary, stewardship is utilizing and managing all resources that God provides for the glory of God and the betterment of His creation. In other words, every Christian is responsible to, in an intelligent manner, manage and use every resource and every, get this, spiritual gift, because that's a resource, given to them, right? And do it in such a way that it helps advance the kingdom of God. You say, well, that's heavy. It is. But that's what the biblical definition of stewardship is. So let's start by looking at Luke chapter 16. It'll be on the screen. You can look at your Bible, look at your phone, however you choose to do that. And if your Bible is like mine, when you get to Luke chapter 16 and it's laid out the way mine has little subheadings for each area. What you'll see is that in this chapter, it begins with a parable about money. And then if you go to the end of this chapter, it ends with the parable or the story of the rich man and Lazarus. In other words, it begins with a parable about money, and it ends with a parable concerning money. We're not going to read all that. Let's just look at verses 10 through 13 together. 10 through 13 of chapter 16 in Luke says, "One who is faithful in a very little is also faithful in much. And one who is dishonest in a very little is also dishonest in much. If then you have not been faithful in the unrighteous wealth, who will entrust you to true riches? And if you have not been faithful in that which is another's, who will give you that which is your own? No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money." Now, here, Jesus uses money, right? Because he's been teaching about money. But you could fill in the place of money, any other thing, okay, that you could serve in this world. It could be your job. It could be other people, right? Because what the truth of this message is you cannot serve God and something else. Okay? Why? God's a jealous God. God tells us in the Ten Commandments, the very first one, what? There are, ought not be, there shouldn't be any other gods before Him. He's got to be number one. And Jesus teaches that right here. Now, He's using money as an example, right? Okay? So Jesus shared these words just after the parable about an unjust steward. And in that parable, the steward, guess what? He's caught squandering the money of his master. And he's asked to give an account for how he had used it. In other words, he got caught. And then the master said, "Hey, you got some explaining to do. You need to explain to me what's going on." Well, guess what? Knowing that he had been caught, he took the money to buy friendships. And he did that hoping that, guess what, when he lost his job, lost his position, that he at least have some friends to take care of him, right? Well, even though he did all these things, and even with all the unjust practices of this servant, his master, after finding out, commended him for his shrewdness. So what is it that Jesus is teaching? Certainly he's not teaching us and condoning us to be dishonest in handling another person's money or even handling our own money. Certainly that's not what Jesus is teaching. So what is he teaching? Well, Jesus wanted us to understand that if the wicked, okay, that if an evil person can be shrewd with temporary things such as what? Money. I don't know if you realize this or not. Money is great, okay, when it's used properly. Money is actually a gift and a blessing from God. But here's the thing. It's temporary. When you get to heaven, you ain't going to be able to reach in your pocket and pull out your stash and take care of something. You know why? Because you're not going to need to. You're not going to need to. Money is a temporal thing. And so what Jesus is teaching us here is, hey, if a person who's corrupt can be shrewd in something like money, then how much more shrewd should we be with eternal things? Think about that. Eternal things. What are the things that are eternal to us? I already mentioned one of them. Spiritual gifts, right? And I've said this before. If God's given you a spiritual gift and you got it in your pocket, it's not going to stay there very long before he takes it away from you. He gave you that gift for a purpose and a reason. And guess what? Just like with money, right? You need to be a good steward with it. You need to use it for the purpose that it was given. So we know from our text that Jesus is saying if we cannot be trusted with earthly things such as money, he's not going to trust us with the truly valuable things that come from the Spirit. I'll say that again, or part of that. The truly valuable thing. Boy, we put a lot of value on our money, don't we? It's temporary, guys. The truly valuable things are things that come from God through his Spirit into your life. Jesus says if we prove we can manage the small things, then he'll allow us to manage the larger things. If we fail at handling something which belongs to someone else, what do you think our chances of getting something from another person would be? Not very likely. Not very likely. Then Jesus tells us that you cannot serve two masters. You cannot serve both God and money. And don't overlook the fact that these four verses that we read are found wedged between two parables about money. Both of those parables speak to us about how wise or how foolish we can be when it comes to how we use something like money. The verses teach us it's more important to see money as something that actually belongs to God. It's given to us as a blessing, and it's to be used for the purposes of his kingdom. If you this morning view money in any other light, then perhaps you are outside of what Jesus said when he said, you cannot serve both God and money. Now, I will never tell you how to use your money. And one of the other reasons I don't preach and teach on money is because I am not, as we joke sometimes, the guy that says, sow into this ministry. Dig deep in your pockets. That ain't for me to decide. That's for you and God to decide. So I'll never ask you or tell you or instruct you how to use your money. All I can do, though, is show you in Scripture what God says about it and what he says about how we are to look at that resource and then how we are to use it properly. And this is just one example. But Jesus says here, how we spend our money reveals the truth of our heart. And it lets us know, as well as other people around us, know where we stand spiritually. So I'll say this. If you are not giving some portion of your money back to the kingdom, remember, I'm talking to the Christian, right? Okay? If you're not Christian, giving some portion of your money back to the kingdom, then you need to evaluate the condition of your heart. God does not need your money. We say, oh, they'll print more. God is the creator of the money to begin with. He doesn't need your money. You know what he really needs, though? He needs you to faithfully understand that resource and how to use it, and then be obedient when it comes to sharing that which he has already blessed you with. And that's all I'm going to say about money. It's going to be another 4 years before I preach on money. Just kidding. Did you know that God also owns your time? You know, God created the 24-hour clock. If you're a genuine believer and you have dedicated your heart and your life to Jesus, then you must also believe that there is not a moment in each day that belongs to you. So now you're making me mad. But that's true. Every second of every hour of every day truly belongs to God. So let's look at another passage this morning. We're going to go to Ephesians chapter 5, and we're going to read two verses there, 15 and 16. And I feel like I say this a lot, but it's very true. I love this too. I love what it says. Verse 15, it says, "Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise." 16 says, "Making the best use of what? The time." And then it gives us a reason why we're supposed to make the best use of time. Because the days are evil. So Ephesians is a great book to study if you want to know your position as a Christian. Paul spends the first four chapters in the book of Ephesians explaining how believing in Christ brings unity and strength to the believer and into the body of Christ, and into strength and unity into the body of believers, right? And in chapter 4, he tells the church at Ephesus to walk in unity, okay? Well, all through Ephesians, you'll see Paul, and he does it in several other places too, use that word walk. But what he really means when he says that, what he literally means is live, L-I-V-E, okay? So chapter 5 begins with Paul instructing them to walk with one another in love. In other words, if you switch it to live, live together, one another in love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself for us. And then we get down to verse 15 and 16 that we just read. Paul tells us to live wisely and use our time wisely because the days are becoming increasingly more evil. Now, if God is concerned with our money, don't you think it would be natural for him to also be concerned about how we spend our time? Think of it like this. You can always make more money. I used to joke and say, it's just a dollar. I'll make another one tomorrow. Right? You can always make more money, but you can never make more time. We get 24 hours every day. We can use it, as Paul is telling us here, wisely, for his purposes, or we can waste it however we choose. But once it's gone, it's gone, and it's not coming back. It's not coming back. Now, when I read these verses and I think deeply about their meaning, I find myself understanding that I must learn to become more intentional about how I spend my time. And I actually realized that many, many years ago, and I still get sidetracked, right? So I made an intentional effort at the beginning of this year to spend more time with the things of God instead of the things of Brian, okay? So God wants us to intentionally set out to spend more time with him. Perhaps that's what occurs in a person or a Christian's heart as we grow more mature and we become more like who? Christ. See, God begins to teach us about the importance of spending time in his word. I've said that since I've been here. Read your word. Read this Bible. Study this Bible. Fall asleep with it on your head if you have to. Spend time in the Word. Spend time in the Word. We need to spend more time in prayer. We've been very intentional this year about what? Prayer. Tuesday mornings at 10 a.m. Hey, if you're available, come pray, right? The first or second Wednesday of the month. All we do on Wednesday night, guess what we do? We gather and we pray, right? We've been very intentional about spending more time in prayer. Guess what? Spend more time with Him. You say, well, how can I spend more time with Him? If I'm praying, I'm in the Word, I'm spending more time with Him. Guess what? This world we live in, and I ain't talking about the bad stuff, I'm talking about the good stuff. He created that for us. And you can see Him, as we talked about a couple weeks ago, in every bit of it. Go to a waterfall. Go to a meadow right now that's filled with sunflowers. Right? Go somewhere and enjoy Him. Enjoy what God has created. Guess what? He made that stuff for you to enjoy anyway. Okay? Spend more time with Him. Here's the other part of spending more time with Him. Zip it. And listen. You say, well, you could take that advice, preacher. You're right. I tend to talk a lot. But if I truly want to spend more time with the Father, then sometimes I got to zip it and listen and let Him speak. Do you know that if you go back and you look at the Sermon on the Mount, that Jesus was actually talking about through that whole sermon, how we spend our time. How we spend our time. Do we spend our time trying to gain the material things of the temporal world? Or do we invest our time in things which have eternal blessings? In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus follows up this teaching that we're talking about this morning by making this statement. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Where is your heart? Where your heart is will always be revealed by how you spend your time. You can give your time or the substance of your life to what you love the most. And as we've already mentioned, for some, you know what? They do it in the pursuit of money. For others, it's for pleasure and entertainment. For some, it's their career. For some, it's sports or recreation. But thankfully, for some, it's the kingdom of God. It's the kingdom of God. Where your heart is can be clearly seen in how you spend your time. Now, another important area of stewarding in life concerns how we use our voice. Let me say it this way to be more specific. Because some of us have soft voices. Some of us have bold voices. Right? So I'm not necessarily talking about how you use the voice. More specifically, it's how we use our words. How we use our words. As a growing disciple of Jesus Christ, we must become disciplined. We must steward the manner in which we speak to other people. Just as we would become disciplined in how much we eat, how much we sleep, how much we exercise or don't exercise, or how much we spend on this or spend on that. We must develop the discipline. We must become better stewards to intentionally help us work toward the goal. What's our goal? To become more like Jesus, to become more like Christ. So since we're in the book of Ephesians, I'm going to ask you to just flip back to chapter 4. And I want you to look at what Paul has to say in verse 25, and then we're going to jump down to 29 through 32. But verse 25 says, therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Now jump down to 29. And he's talking about this using your voice. Wait, using your words. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths. But only such as is good for what? Building up, as it fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. You know what that means? That if you say something that tears down, the Spirit of God goes, oh, what is my child doing now? That's what that means. Verse 31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. 32, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. You say, all right, preacher, you're stepping on toes now. Well, good. But you know what? My job is to show you what God says. And he says in his word, you must steward your tongue. You must manage your tongue. Easier said than done, right? Easier said than done. Paul understood the power associated with speech and how our words can and should be used. The things he's instructing us on here become very important for us as we live in a world that is filled with anger and hate and maliciousness. You remember that little scripture where Jesus says, hey, if somebody slaps you, turn the other cheek, right? So Paul understood the meaning of that. But I think sometimes we forget the meaning of that. Somebody comes at us with hate and anger and maliciousness, what do we want to do? Guess what? It's up to us to steward how we act and react in those moments. It is our role, Christian, to make sure we speak truth to people in a manner that's consistent with how Jesus spoke to people. Too often we forget that many warnings found throughout Scripture address this. Instead, we choose to say things our way. Or we say things when we want to and how we want to. And most of the time we do that without any consideration for the other people around us, the person we're addressing, or even the circumstances we might find ourselves in. In other words, we're great at taking the old foot and sticking it in the mouth. King Solomon gave us some powerful advice concerning the stewardship of our mouth. So I want to give you some of the warnings that you can find in the book of Proverbs. Look at Proverbs 8:13. The fear of the Lord is hatred of evil, pride and arrogance, and the way of evil, and perverted what? Speech. And get this, I hate. Hate's a very powerful word. God knows that. That's why he included it in this word. For us to read that and say, you know what? What does he hate? Pride, arrogance, the way of evil. But what's included in that? Perverted speech. You know what? God hates all form of evil. And if the things that come out of your mouth are perverse and perverted in any manner, then you got an issue. You need to address it. It's not good. Matter of fact, God says he hates it. Proverbs 15, 1 and 2. A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. You know, a lot of stuff we get into, we bring on ourselves. Verse 2, the tongue of the wise commends knowledge, but the mouths of fools pour out folly. When you say things with the intent of causing pain or to stir the pot, then you're not speaking with a wise heart, but the heart of a fool. Proverbs 13:3, whoever guards his mouth preserves his life. He who opens wide his lips comes in ruin. Frivolous speech will only cause harm. It is better for us to think before we speak. You always hear think before you act. I'm going to say it that way. Think before you speak. Especially in those moments where we're mad. That's the most difficult one. Somebody's hurt you and boy, what do you want to do? Woo, buddy. You want to lay into them, right? Sometimes that's not the best procedure. Look at some more words from Proverbs. These are a little bit, a little bit more encouraging. Proverbs 21:23 says, whoever keeps his mouth and his tongue keeps himself what? Out of trouble. God says, hey, I don't like it when you talk ugly. So if you don't, if you refrain from that, you steward that very well, guess what? You'll keep yourself out of trouble. You'll keep yourself out of trouble. Proverbs 17:27-28. Whoever restrains his word has knowledge, and he who has a cool spirit is a man of understanding. Even a fool who keeps silent is considered wise. When he closes his lips, he is deemed intelligent. You know you're going to come here and get blasted this morning, did you? It's the word, y'all. God, we always hear that word stewardship, and we automatically think what? Money. There's more to stewardship, and there's a long list than just our money. We got to steward that, but we got to steward our time. And boy, this one right here is very, very important. You know why the world looks at the church nowadays and scoffs at it? And looks at many of us that call ourselves Christians and say, boy, that's just a bunch of hypocrites. Can I just be honest with you? I'm not going to say it's all of it, but a large majority of the reason why is what we're talking about right here. We're not very good stewards sometimes with our words. But I don't want you just to consider the wise words of Solomon. I want you to see what Jesus had to say about what comes out of our mouth. And I'm going to read to you Matthew 15:10-20. And he called the people to him and said to them, hear and understand. In other words, Jesus says, hey, zip it, open them, and understand what I'm about to say to you. It is not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but what comes out of the mouth that defiles a person. Then the disciples came and said to him, do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this saying? He answered, every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be rooted up. Let them alone. They are blind guides. And if the blind lead the blind, both will fall into a pit. But Peter said to him, explain the parable to us. And he said, are you also still without understanding? Do you not see that whatever goes into the mouth passes into the stomach and is expelled? But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and it defiles a person. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, slander. These are what defile a person, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile anyone. That ain't about what you're eating and whether your hands are clean or not. Jesus is saying there, hey, those words that come out of your mouth, they're coming from here and nowhere else. And it speaks to the truth of what's in there. Okay? And like I said with your money, I'll never tell you how to use your money. I'll never tell you to clean up your language or be nicer to somebody because I don't have to. All I have to do is show you what it says right here. And lead you to what Jesus said about it. That's my job. That's my role as your pastor. If we struggle, or if you struggle with the words which lead your mouth, I ask you to consider the condition of your heart. After all, a heart filled with things such as mercy, grace, compassion, and love will never say things out of the way or with the intention to cause harm. Instead, the words which flow from your mouth will build up, and as we read earlier, offer what? Grace. The words will match closely with the way Jesus addressed people. At the end of the day, either we are or we are not dedicated followers of Christ. Our world and our churches are filled with pretenders and hypocrites. We need to come to terms with the reality that our faith requires us to recognize and uphold some basic concepts. While there are many more we could address, the ones mentioned today stand as strong starting points for us to grow spiritually. If we are Christians in name only, if our faith doesn't make it any further than our lips, and these basic tenets never translate into a changed life, a life lived with the kind of discipline Jesus calls for, a life which demonstrates surrender and sacrifice, we are no different from any of the other religious philosophies that are out there in our world today. Jesus called us to surrender. That means everything, and not just the things that we choose. It is a call to follow Him in totality, not just partially. It is a call to serve Him for life. I'm going to say it this way. It's the one life sentence you want. It's the one life sentence you want. We cannot expect the world around us to believe that we really believe in Jesus and in God if we're not really willing to practice what we preach. And we're not willing to work to become better stewards of the things God has blessed us with. Here's a reality for you. Jesus did not give us lip service. He did what He said He was going to do. He gave up His life for me and you. On Calvary's cross, He laid it all down. He left the glory of heaven for that work. He surrendered to the agony of the cross, all for love, so that you and I could one day inherit eternal life. You know that mansion with all those rooms? It's a big mansion, y'all. It's a big mansion. And He's adding wings every day. My hope for you is that one of them rooms is yours. If Jesus held nothing back for you, why would you hold anything back for Him? What does your stewardship say about the authenticity of your sacrifice? The authenticity of your faith? What does it say about where your heart and your trust truly is? What does it say about the person you represent? We must, it's not an option, we must become better stewards with the resources and the blessings that God has given us. God has given us. Tough. Tough, but needed. But needed. I love you guys. Brady, we're gonna play a song. Yep. Hold off.
If you don't mind.
What if I did? No, I'm just kidding.
If you do mind, then I'll shut up.
No, I'm just kidding.
This stewardship of the tongue is a big problem. Big problem right here. It's a big problem pretty much everywhere in the world. So I just wanted to share a little something that we can keep in our mind, and it's think. Before you speak, think. Is what you're about to say truthful? Is it true of your own knowledge, not by a rumor? Is it true? Do you know it to be true? Is what we're about to say helpful? Does it help someone, or does it tear them down? If it tears them down, is it inspirational? Does it point people to God? Is it necessary? The Bible says, in the multitude of words, sin is not lacking. Shut up is the default option. And then is it kind? Does what we're about to say show a heart of love for the people we're about to say? That's all.
So God has challenged you this morning to consider how you steward his resources. And I say this a lot. I don't know your heart. God does. We're going to play a song. And as this song plays, the words will be on the screen. You can worship with a song. You can do the business with God that you need to do, whatever that is. I'll be down here if I can help you. If I need to talk to you or pray with you, come if you need to. All right, I know what some of you are thinking. You're thinking, after that, please preach on money again, right? Everything you do, whether it be money, time, your mouth, resources, your spiritual gift, as that song said, it ought to be done all for his glory, all for his glory. Tonight we'll meet at 6:30. Wednesday night is our prayer night, but before we move into prayer night, if you want to come help take all this down, very carefully, because we're going to save some of it. We'll meet at 6:30 and we'll start deconstructing all of this in that time. All right, tonight at 6:30, Wednesday at 6:30, I'm going to pray and then Y'all go enjoy the rest of the day. How's that sound? Father, we thank you. Father, we love you. Father, we thank you for your words. Lord, help us to grow. Help us to represent you in the manner that you desire for us to do. And God, as we go, we ask for your provision and your protection. And help us go into this world and be a light into the darkness. Father, we love you, Jesus. We love you, Holy Spirit. We love you. And we pray all these things in your mighty and holy name. Amen.